Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
Hey, mommy.
And Glenn Leverins.
That's how I know. This is Morning Air.
Wake up, America. It's Wednesday, August 9th. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, Virgin and Martyr. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It is great to be with you on this Wednesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Wednesdays, I always take a brief moment to remind you to pray to St. Joseph. Wednesday is the day that we remember St. Joseph. He is a powerful intercessor, so go to Joseph, the head of the Holy Family. As always, you can send us an email directly if you have any thoughts or any story ideas you want to run by us. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. Want to bring in our team as we do every morning, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the stories making headlines on this Wednesday morning?
Well, John, a bit of a setback for the life issue. A special election yesterday in Ohio that would have changed what it would take to make a constitutional amendment on the ballot in Ohio from a simple majority to a 60% majority, and that measure failed by a vote of 57-43%. The measure would have made it harder for those who want to put anti-life measures on the ballot this fall. And that's a strategy that anti-life forces are using in states around the country that have an opportunity for a simple majority to change a state constitution.
Glenn, it is a setback, but it's not over, obviously. Very disappointing for the pro-life movement. And as lifenews.com reported, there was a lot of outside money from radical abortion activists. They spent over $10 million in ads trying to convince the folks there in the state of Ohio, in many ways misleading a lot of people with their misinformation about this this campaign. So it's disappointing, but it's still not over. Obviously, they'll still be able to fight it in November.
Yeah, the actual issue then will be on the ballot in November with still a chance to vote for life at that point. And again, this is a strategy, as we talked yesterday morning, a strategy in many states that have had legislation that prohibits abortion or strictly limits it, severely limits it, this is the next tactic that anti-life forces are taking.
And obviously, Ohio is a very important, a major battleground state in this fight for the culture of life, to protect unborn babies from abortion. In fact, last year, the pro-abortion groups persuaded a judge to block the state's heartbeat law, which bans elective abortions on unborn babies with beating hearts. And so now they're trying to basically codify abortion on demand for all 9 months.
Yep. And again, there'll be a chance to vote against that this fall, but folks will have to be definitely aware of that. Elsewhere, John, you're still here, so apparently the Mega Millions winner was not you.
Yes. It's so funny. I actually forgot to buy a ticket. And I had actually thought, you know, I should spend $2 and buy a ticket. And I drove right past the place, the gas station that I would have stopped at last night, and forgot to buy it. But sure enough, good for somebody down in Neptune, Florida. There is one winner, finally, after all this time. I think nobody had won since going all the way back to April, I believe it was. So it's pretty amazing. A $0.5 billion grand prize. And if you take it as a lump sum, it's $783 million. So congrats to whoever bought the ticket.
Well, yeah, it's a big win there. But rest assured, God will still bless you, even if you didn't buy a ticket and win that dough.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. This is the largest ever Mega Millions jackpot, but it actually, there were two previous Powerball jackpots that were bigger than this one. So this is number three all time in U.S. history, if you're keeping score.
Well, John, definitely just keep holding out. Don't buy those tickets until it's the biggest ever, ever, ever. And then you can buy a ticket. So it's okay, right?
There you go. There you go. All right. And today there is a big birthday for a furry friend.
Oh, there certainly is. Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is our furry friend.
Remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
Smokey the Bear turned 79 today, guys.
I love it. I love it.
Man, preventing forest fires for a very long time. Congratulations, Smokey.
Congratulations to Smokey. I'm a big fan of Smokey the Bear. I still remember all those commercials when I was a kid. So way to go, Smokey.
What does he sound like again, John?
Hey, remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
Very nice.
Well done.
All right, guys. As always, thanks so much.
All right.
We begin every morning in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always remembering that every day is a gift. We always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can always find us on social media, on X, the former Twitter. Our handle is at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Now, how many of you that consider yourselves as endurance athletes have ever thought of competing in an Ironman? An Ironman race is not a little thing. It requires a ton of preparation, physically, mentally, and even spiritually, just to finish it, just to do it. Our first guest has done 15 Ironman races and has done more than 100 triathlons. Absolutely amazing at his 64 years of age and 34 of them as a Catholic priest. Joining us this morning is the Ironman triathlete priest, Father Tom Baker, the pastor of St. Rita Church in Sierra Madre, California, who just last month competed the Oregon 70.3-mile Ironman. Good morning, Father Tom. Thanks so much for joining us here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio. It is great to be with you for the first time.
Thanks, John. Good morning to you, too.
Father Tom, first of all, congratulations on your recent Ironman. It is an absolutely amazing accomplishment. The average person has no idea of what's involved in biking for 56 miles, running for 13.1 miles, and swimming for 1.2 miles. That's a 70.3-mile race. It truly is for Iron Men. And at your age, at 64, do you count your blessings that you still have, that God-given ability to be able to compete and to finish these type of competitions?
I do. I am very glad for the good genetics of my mom and dad, and that I have the strength and stay healthy enough to keep doing this.
Father, where did the passion to compete and to do triathlons come from to begin with?
The first time I did a triathlon, I was still in the seminary. Had a knee injury and needed to rehab. And while running isn't great for the knees, swimming and biking is definitely really good. So I was in the seminary on limited budget. So I signed up for a triathlon to focus my exercise and rehabilitation. Then I did not do any triathlons for the first 10 years of priesthood. But in 1997, I became a pastor. About the same time my sister had died, a younger sister, and I started to do triathlons again because of the a way to channel some of the grief and to navigate some of the pastoral responsibilities that I couldn't really discuss with others, but and to relieve the stress that comes from that pastoral responsibility. So then in 1999, I started doing triathlons again. I started with smaller ones and just kept stretching myself to do larger ones. And I did half Ironman. And then eventually I used to think a full Ironman was crazy. Still sort of think that, but I have done 15 of them.
Father Tom, did you have a background in running when you were a young guy? Did you compete in cross country or track, during your high school or college days?
No, I was a football, basketball guy. Basketball was what I really enjoyed doing. But around age 40, I stopped playing basketball because I only know one speed and it's all out. And it was just not good for my knees anymore. So I started triathlon. At least when you're running, you are in control of the direction. When you play sports with basketball, or I used to play racquetball a lot too, it's all dependent on other people or the ball. So it was just hard on my knees.
Well, you got to have a lot of motivation to compete in an Ironman race. You've done it 15 times, over 100 triathlons. What drives you? What motivates you today to continue to compete? You've even at one point been in the World Championships, the Ironman World Championships in Hawaii.
Well, that was a motivator for a lot of years. I wanted to get to Hawaii. Once I did my first full-length Ironman, which is 140.6 miles, I really wanted to get to Hawaii because it's the Mecca. It's the granddaddy of them all, as you call it, the Super Bowl of triathlons. And it requires qualifying through speed or through a lottery. And I tried qualifying through speed and it became a burden to exercise because it became another stress adder rather than the stress reliever that I really intended it for. So I finally gave up on trying to qualify that way. I ended up getting in through a lottery, but the motivation for me, it just keeps me so balanced. I mean, the adrenaline or the euphoria you get from completing a long journeyed event is just something that I thoroughly enjoy. Even though I suffer some during the race, that feeling of accomplishing it just is an incredible thing. My aunt one time asked me why I did it. And I said, well, because in life, you don't get to choose when heartaches or difficulties come. In Ironman, I choose it. But it gives me fortitude in order to deal with those difficulties when not chosen. So that's a lot of the motivating factor for me as well, so that I have the fortitude and the knowledge and skills to venture through the hardships of life, which inevitably come.
Well, Father Tom, you talk about hardships. How about the preparation? People don't realize it takes a ton of preparation to be able to compete in a triathlon or an Ironman. What is your mindset while you're training?
It's just staying healthy. I mean, I don't go for speed anymore. So I go to the pool and there's one guy who's really going for speed. And it just becomes a harder workout. I just go and I enjoy getting in the water and just swimming. But I'm very disciplined. Obviously, it's 5 days a week I'm exercising. I usually take 1 or 2 days off just to let the body recover. But it takes a real discipline to just do it. But it takes discipline to be a Christian, to live the life in a secular society that God calls us to. And so this just helps complement my Christian lifestyle in a lot of ways.
What do you do during a race when you're experiencing those physical challenges, the grueling effects on your body during an Ironman?
I do prayer. And I have mantras, scriptural mantras. I have people that I know are in chemo or have gone through situations where they're in therapy or parents who've lost children or spouses. I focus on them. When I'm suffering, I focus on those who suffer and aren't choosing to do it. I offer it up, and it's an incredible thing. And in Ironman Oregon, I had some cramping on the bike, and by the time I got to the run on mile four, I already hit the wall, which is the mental breaking point. And to still have nine more miles to run, it was a battle. It was a battle, but that's where the mantras come in. Having done them before, I know I just need to keep pushing forward and it will get done. And it might be a slower time than I had hoped for, but time is only part of the journey. The most important journey is the finish.
Father Tom, and we're joined this morning by Father Tom Baker, the pastor of St. Rita Church in Sierra Madre, California. He's an Ironman triathlete priest who just recently competed the Oregon 7.3-mile Ironman race. Father, in Oregon, you had a special message behind you based on a special number.
Yeah, John, every time I've done Ironmans, I try to take my race number and find a scripture quote that coincides with those numbers. And the one at Oregon was, my race number was 574. And so I looked, chapter 57, there's limits which scripture passages you can go to. So I used Psalm 57, verse 4, which said, "May God send help from heaven to save me." And so that would be a little bit of a mantra, especially when I was suffering, that God might send help to assist me. But it also became a mantra for the prayers that I'm lifting up for others that are struggling, that God might come to their aid and save them. But John, I even remember when I did Ironman Hawaii, my number was 503, and I used the first of the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 03, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's incredible how sometimes those numbers and scriptures remain with me.
That is absolutely amazing, Father Tom. The Apostle St. Paul wrote extensively about the spiritual life as an athletic race, using the language of sports in his writings and his epistles. What are some other favorite scriptures, these mantras, as you call them, that inspire you to keep on pressing on during a race?
Yeah, St. Paul has some good ones. And one of the other ones is Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling. And while in a race, the goal is the finish line, in life, that's not the finish line. The goal is heaven. And the goal is continuing to move forward, straining forward. I also love very much, it's a short one, and Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That one becomes an easy, sometimes step-by-step mantra. Come on, God, strengthen me. Come on, strengthen me. Because at times, it's really hard to keep moving forward.
Those are beautiful scriptures. I know that St. Paul in Romans 12:1 also talks about offering your body as a living sacrifice, a powerful reminder that, there is a redemptive suffering that you're going through, but with purpose when you're out there running in these races.
Yeah, I use that one too. And I even talk about that sometimes in homilies or in to the people, because so often we don't honor our body as a temple that it is. And I'm trying to offer what I'm able to do as a living sacrifice, even coming on the radio and some of the things that have been said about me. Personally, I tend to want to stay a little bit more private, but if it can promote goodness for our church and get people to think about in a more positive way the disciplines of life and how wonderful that is, and offering their bodies as a living sacrifice, then what I'm doing is worth it.
Well, Father, there's no doubt that being a pastor is a super demanding and a very busy job. How in the world do you balance your responsibilities as a pastor of a Catholic parish along with your training and your spiritual life?
Once I get routines, I will swim on certain days and run on certain days and bike on certain days. Sometimes it's my days off, but I also am very disciplined, and I get ahead of things with bulletin messages or duties that I have to do, I make sure that I'm not waiting to the last minute because something always comes up. I mean, there might be a funeral or a hospital call. It's just weaving them into the dimensions of living.
Well, Father Tom, speaking of your parishioners, what about the people in your parish, especially the young people, the kids? How do they feel about your athletic competitions and you performing as an Ironman priest?
Oh, they think it's pretty cool. There's not many priests that do these things. It becomes a very more easily relatable interaction with the kids. To talk about sports is a little more comfortable than to talk about Bible or prayer life. So I think it becomes a nice connecting point with them. Some of them will watch with the Ironman events. There's trackers now that have, that is an app that you can follow my progress on a course. And sometimes the kids, the families, parishioners, staff members are watching that. And so that's encouraging. And sometimes it even motivates them to get involved in some athletic endeavors.
Well, Father Tom, not everybody's called to compete in an Ironman or a triathlon, but we all can be spiritual athletes for Christ.
Our faith is so rich and we have so many resources to enhance our spiritual life. We just have to take advantage of those. And I do it through this athletics, and I try to make it a little bit more accessible and not so daunting for the everyday person. I think our faith isn't so daunting. Jesus was pretty simple in his approach. Love, kindness, goodness. Each of us can do well with bringing that to bear in our spiritual lives.
Well, Father Tom, I'm sure the great apostle St. Paul is praying for you from heaven every time you compete. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning on Morning Air. It really has been a blessing.
Well, thank you too. And God bless your ministry. And thank you for having me.
The Ironman priest, Father Tom Baker, the pastor of St. Rita Church in Sierra Madre, California, with us here on Morning Air. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll go live to the Vatican for our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona, for the latest news on the Holy Father, Pope Francis. So stay with us. There is much more to come on Morning Air on this Wednesday edition here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And now, indeed, it is time to bring Rome to home. For the latest news from the Vatican, we go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project in Rome, where they take people from knowing their faith to setting their hearts on fire with talks, tours, and spiritual direction, all centered on scripture, art, and beauty. They even have a special track to evangelize young adults. So visit truthandbeautyproject.com to find out how you can make your life a masterpiece in just 1 week with John and Ashley in Rome. Good morning, Ashley. Buongiorno. Thanks so much for joining us once again from Roma.
Hey, John, good morning to you, and I'm happy to say buongiorno.
Well, Ashley, after taking a little time off in the month of July with no papal audiences, this morning, once again, we begin with the Wednesday audience. What was the main focus of Pope Francis this morning?
Yes, indeed. The Wednesday audiences have kicked off again, and today in the Pope Paul VI Audience Hall to try to get away from that August heat. And today, John, in the theme, the Pope really looked back and reflected on his apostolic journey to Portugal. That, of course, was for World Youth Day in Lisbon, the 37th World Youth Day. And he thanked all of those who were involved, everyone who helped in organization of his journey, in organization of the event. And he also thanked especially the young people who have traveled not only to Lisbon, but then to Rome and were present at the audience this morning. And he called World Youth Day an occasion to encounter Christ. He said it was really a chance for the youth to grow in faith and to experience God's tender love for all of his children. He said that World Youth Day was a gift that where God set in motion young people's hearts and steps, encouraging them to go out and find Jesus. It's a place where he said they can discover God's call, whether it's to marriage or consecrated life or to the priesthood. And he also noted Our Lady's special presence during the days of World Youth Day, as well as throughout history. And he said that he particularly likes to invoke the Virgin Mary under the title of Our Lady of Haste, because he said she's always ready to swiftly intercede for her children's requests. And he reminded all that she is everyone's mother and she will act in haste. She never makes her children wait. And today, too, at the Angelus, the Pope said that he, when he prayed at Fatima, at that site of the apparition site of Our Lady, especially with people who were ill, he prayed that God would heal the world of diseases of the soul, particularly pride and lies and violence. He said that World Youth Day really gave a sign of hope to the world that another world is possible that exists without fear or isolationism and weapons. And he said that he prayed that the Blessed Virgin Mary would bless all the young people of the world, bless the Portuguese. And then after those words, he led everyone in praying the Hail Mary, John, and also prayed especially for those who have been especially affected by natural disasters in Slovenia and Georgia. He also entrusted the Ukrainian people to the protection of St. Edith Stein on her feast day today. She, of course, is a co-patroness of Europe, and he prayed that her witness might stimulate a commitment to peace. And he, of course, especially remembering the victims of the floods in Slovenia, the landslide in Georgia, saying that he is spiritually close to all of the victims and to the families and everyone who is suffering from these natural disasters, John.
Well, Ashley, there's no doubt that this 37th World Youth Day was really special. There were so many great moments and highlights. And, you know, as you're talking about the Holy Father at Fatima, you know, the images of seeing 200,000 young people there with him, mm-hmm. Praying at the very site where the Blessed Mother appeared in 1917 was quite remarkable. And then, of course, you know, the 1.5 million that mm-hmm. showed up for the vigil and the closing mass. It was just so exciting. And then his announcement of the next World Youth Day in Seoul, South Korea in 2027. You put it all together. It was, you know, a lot of really great moments. And so the Holy Father, of course, reflecting on them. We actually have a little bit of audio of Pope Francis's message to the young people after the closing mass on Sunday.
And so the third word is be unafraid, be fearless. We hear this word repeated often in the Gospels. Don't be afraid.
There you go, echoing my hero, St. Pope John Paul II, who said it so many times. But I think the Holy Father's presence resonated in the hearts of all those 1.5 million young people from all corners of the world, Ashley.
Yes, indeed. And in addition to that message of be not afraid, John, a message that he repeated again and again to the young people there was urging them to be roots of joy and to really grow and spread the joy of Christ.
Meanwhile, there is news that Rome may be forbidding holdings of gatherings in concerts at the Circus Maximus in the future. What is happening there?
Yes. And in fact, that's, of course, a location that has been hosting events going all the way back to the 6th century BC. And in the summer, these days, in our times, it's a place where concerts and operas and gatherings are held. Guns N' Roses, Bruce Springsteen, for example, they performed this summer. But according to the director of the Coliseum, they are calling for these kinds of events to stop. And this is all after 2 days ago, there was a major concert there. And because of the noise, because of people jumping up and down to the music of Travis Scott, as well as an impromptu visit from Kanye West, about 60,000 people's excitement and noise caused dozens and dozens of phone calls to come into various emergency services around Rome, thinking that there was an earthquake. It actually caused shaking in various parts of the city up to 2 miles away from the venue, with vases and light fixtures rattling and swaying. And so with that said, they are reconsidering how to use this ancient space, because although there's been no damage to the archaeological heritage in the area, for example, on the Palatine Hill or the Colosseum itself, of course, the concern is they don't know what will happen in the future. So let's see what happens. But in the meantime, the Institute of Volcanology and Seismology in the area that specifically studies earthquakes says that no particular earthquake registered, although there was definitely a whole lot of shaking going on, John.
Wow. So I guess that kind of puts to sleep any speculation of Elon Musk taking on Mark Zuckerberg in the Circus Maximus.
Yeah, it looks like it's probably not going to happen, or at least they'll pick a new venue.
Can you believe people were actually, you know, talking about that as a possibility? All kinds of crazy speculation. Meanwhile, tomorrow is the feast of St. Lawrence the Deacon. How is Roma celebrating this feast day?
Sure enough, well, when St. Lawrence was martyred back in 258 AD, this was under the persecution of the Emperor Valerian, and this was along with many other members of the Roman clergy. Well, of course, many may know that he was actually grilled to death, and on his feast day, as is tradition, many people will visit the Church of St. Lawrence outside the walls, where they can actually pray in front of and venerate the relics, the remains of St. Lawrence. And also, they'll visit St. Lawrence in Panisperna, because this church, it was built over the spot of St. Lawrence's actual martyrdom. And a little chapel was built under the spot where it actually occurred. And then in St. Lawrence in Lucina, in that church, people will go because the grill that actually was used to burn St. Lawrence alive is preserved right there in that church under the altar. And there's a number of paintings too that depict the life of St. Lawrence. They'll also visit the Church of St. Lawrence in Miranda, because there's tradition that this is the location where St. Lawrence received his sentence of condemnation. But then, John, for those who won't have the opportunity to visit all those special holy sites, well, the rest of us can just look to the skies, because tradition says that the ashes of St. Lawrence's body were dispersed by the wind, and therefore they appear in the sky on his feast day. So what that means is that each year, looking up at the night sky at this type of year, one sees the fallout of the Perseids meteor shower. And this is associated with the comet Swift-Tuttle, and it drops all kinds of dust and debris in the Earth's orbit. And it peaks usually around the 10th of August, the Feast of St. Lawrence. So as people watch the meteor shower, they call them the Tears of St. Lawrence. And remember the sparks of the fire that would have brought St. Lawrence to his death, John.
Sounds like it'll be another fabulous celebration for St. Lawrence the Deacon there in Roma. As always, Ashley, grazie. Thank you so much for bringing Rome to home to our listeners.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Many blessings on you. Take care.
Ashley Noronha, our Rome correspondent, who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app. Just go to Relevant in Rome. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Peter Atkinson, the director of the Merry Beggars on Relevant Radio, will join us live here in studio. He's all dressed up, ready to meet us. And we're going to talk about some exciting news on a new series on the Saints. So stay with us as Morning Air continues on this Wednesday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett. Your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air and the memorial of St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, Virgin and Martyr. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and producer Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You can email us directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Philippians 2, 10 and 11. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." As Catholics, we genuflect in front of the true presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. But how often do we think about or pray about the sacred name of Jesus? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the bread of life, the Lamb of God, the author of life, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the light of the world, the Alpha and the Omega. Christ needs to be number one in our lives. Nothing should be more important than our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we always pray with great confidence from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, it's 888-914-9149. Now, this morning, we have a special promo that we want to share with you.
The Saints, adventures of grace and courage.
All things are possible for him. Just ask.
A new saint every week.
Everyone who fights under my standard must be in a state of grace.
Hear the stories of the men and women who gave everything to God.
I've made it home.
Hear the inspirational tales of Patrick, Joan of Arc, John Paul II, and many more. A daily series coming to you this September.
This sounds absolutely fantastic. This new production from the Merry Beggars of Relevant Radio is indeed coming up right around the corner next month in September. We have been waiting and we're quite excited about this new series on the Saints. In a time when the entertainment industry is offering a very poor quality content, the Saints will be offering stories of great men and great women that persevered and truly lived heroic lives of virtue. Joining us live here in studio, he's all dressed up, looking like he could go live across the country on television, is Peter Atkinson, the director of the Merry Beggars, the entertainment division of Relevant Radio, for much more on this new series. Hey, Peter, welcome to Morning Air once again. It's great to see you here in
John,
studio.
Always good to be here. Always a privilege.
Well, I am so excited. I know that you are as well. In fact, I've been seeing the signs on the walls around our studios here for the Saints. It's coming up. Did you ever even begin to imagine when you first joined Relevant Radio with your apostolate, the Merry Beggars, the impact that it would have? I'm looking at 1 million downloads. Just amazing how the Lord is using you.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And I mean, so much credit. I mean, I'm just so grateful to Father Rocky for believing in the vision, because there are people who have, you know, similar ideas of wanting to affect the culture. But how many people would actually look at me coming from Columbia University, starting the Merry Beggars, and make a bet on what we're doing? And it's been beautiful to see how, you know, powered by Relevant Radio's network and Relevant Radio's support, the Merry Beggars has been able to impact, you know, hundreds of thousands of families across the United States, and God willing, millions more to come. So we get so many testimonials from our audience about how it is affecting their lives that we don't have time to share them all or read them all. But that's been one of the most beautiful parts, is, you know, we're trying to do good work, tell beautiful stories, have a good effect on the culture, and then families will take it and do it, use it in their own way. We've had families have sleepovers. We had one family. So On the Night Train was the journey across America. We had one family who actually took that road trip across America to relive On the Night Train, which is just like, you know, you just can't expect that. It's beautiful.
You can't make up this kind of stuff.
No, it's incredible.
Yeah, that is truly amazing. You know, when I think of the Saints, I've love to call them the Hall of Famers. They're the best of the best, the greatest followers of our Lord Jesus Christ of all time. And you've got a lineup of some amazing saints that you're going to be sharing with us coming up. How did the idea for this new production, The Saints, where did it come from? What was the inspiration for it?
Well, it started from The new series, The Saints, Adventures of Faith and Courage, is going to start in September, and it came from two things. One is in conversations with Father Rocky and in listening to our audience, we realized that there is a hunger for content that more explicitly supported the faith and spoke to the Catholic faith. On the Night Train and Christmas Carol are really beautiful, and they're imbued with the Catholic, you know, values, Catholic worldview, but they're not explicitly about the faith. And what came out of conversations with Father Rocky was we want to do something that is explicitly trumpeting, you know, the stories of our faith. I think that the Catholic faith has some of the most incredible stories of all humanity, and they're just not being told. They're sort of being erased from our history. And so this is sort of an opportunity to retell these stories. And we've really worked hard to represent these saints in a way that audiences won't have heard them before. You know, St. Patrick, St. Joan of Arc, people have heard these names, but we're really trying to do a fresh take on their stories. We think it'll be fresh.
You know, in this day and age in social media, you talk about influencers. I mean, these are the greatest influencers of the last two millennia.
And that's the cool thing about these stories is we're trying to, one thing that emerged sort of organically from the process and working with our writers is we're trying to tell the story of who these people were when God first met them, right? So who was Joan of Arc, the little girl in Orléans, France, who was encountered by God? And how did this teenage girl end up in the front of the French army changing world history? Or how did Karol Wojtyła, before he became John Paul II, how when he was, you know, in a theater troupe in Poland, underneath the Nazi regime, how did he go from that to helping to, you know, end the Soviet regime through his Christian witness? So that's the beautiful thing about these stories is we're trying to tell the moment of encounter with God where God reaches into their lives and they start being sent on mission to change the world.
So St. Joan of Arc is one of the many saints that you're going to be focusing on. Obviously, you mentioned St. Patrick. We have a little short clip of St. Joan of Arc.
Pray to God that he dispose your souls to receive all he allows today. Fight bravely for your country, for each village and child. Our France depends upon you. Go boldly!
As we would expect, the production values sound amazing.
We try. But, well, because we want to make these stories accessible to people who aren't Catholic, aren't even Christian, but they want a beautiful, engaging story that moves the heart. My main goal with this whole series is to help our audience fall in love with these stories. And you do that by having beautiful stories, human stories, of these incredible saints that just have high production value so that people can, they're not aware of bad acting, they're not aware of bad sound effects, you know, they can just let their imagination fall into it.
And maybe you can tell us about a few of the other saints that you're going to be showcasing.
Yeah, so we wanted to, off the bat, we wanted to do the saints that people have heard of before we start getting into, you know, Saint Pseudo-Dionysius or Saint, you know, Charbel, people have heard of. But we wanted to do some of the more famous saints. So Patrick, Joan, Benedict, Francis, John Paul II, Carlo Acutis, Isaac Jogues, Pier Giorgio Frassati, Kateri Takakwitha, Juan Diego, Saint George, Seton, Elizabeth Ann Seton, Josephine Bikita, Bernadette of Lourdes, Damien of Malachi, John Bosco. That's just our first 16. And the format, the other part of this show is there's going to be a new saint every single week. So one thing that we learned from our previous productions is people like daily episodes and they like short episodes that they can use during commutes, bedtime, with their kids, playtime. They love having that daily ritual, and they love short episodes. So we'd created this format inspired by an old radio show actually called Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, where we're giving 15-minute episodes every single day. So you can have a story of Patrick, which is, you know, about 70 minutes or so, but split up into 10 to 15 minute chunks every single day. So every single week we'll have a new saint, starting September through the end of November, and then picking up again probably in February.
And the amount of work that goes into every episode, the writing, the recordings, the actors, I mean, it's a big production.
It is a very large production. There's a reason this hasn't been done before, John. There's a reason this hasn't been done before. It takes about 9 months to go from the idea of any particular saint to the final mixdown. So that includes a whole writing process, which involves pitching the saint, researching the saint, coming up with a story schema with a team of writers, doing the first drafts or so, developing that, and then locking it, and then creating all the production materials. And that's just the writing part. Then you have to get into casting, then rehearsals, recordings, and then the post-production, and then the music design, and only then so on and so forth. So any given time, in order to be able to release something weekly, we have 20 to 30 shows in development, various stages of development at any one time. So part of the struggle is not just the artistic vision. It's also the project management side of things, where it's like you can have all the people, you can have the vision. How do you actually get, you know, your trains running on time? So we have been very, very providentially blessed by God with just incredible, incredible people. That I, you know, I can talk about forever, but I won't. Just really incredible team.
And the fact that you're doing it on the radio as opposed to in a video production, it's a lot more economical. You can get a lot more bang for your buck.
If we were to produce these, it's basically a feature film, right? So each week we're going to be releasing shy of a feature film worth of storytelling every single week. And, you know, you think an independent feature film, what is that? That would be $4 million. If you're going to release, and that's like low budget independent film, which comes out, you know, maybe after 3 years of development, 5 years of development. If you are going to have a feature film released every single week, say you do 30, that's $120 million for one series. And we're planning on doing a lot more for a minuscule fraction of that cost. It's incredible.
Can't wait. Super excited. Real quick, when does it kick off?
It kicks off on the 11th of September. So the second week right after Labor Day, I think it is. And we're going to launch then. We're super excited. We'll have lots more for the relevant radio audience to sign up for and to watch and all that stuff. But we can't wait to get it. We've been working on it for a while. These stories are absolutely beautiful, and we're excited to see how God uses them.
And, of course, you go to themarybeggars.com
exactly,
for
themarybeggars.com.
Much more. Peter, you look fantastic. Thank you for stopping by in the studio here with us this morning.
John, thanks so much.
Many blessings to the saints, the adventures of faith and courage coming up on September 11th. So, once again, it is time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called No Room for Crooks by Rubel Shelley. Stan Edmonds inspects houses for a living. He's the fellow whose official scrutiny of foundation, roof, and all things in between is customary to most sales agreements. His job is to find hidden problems in houses that are being sold. January 29, 2002, Edmonds was inspecting a property in Hinsdale, New Hampshire. The potential buyer and real estate agent, Lewis Major, were there. Things were going rather routinely. In order to get to the attic, he had to go through a closet. There was something there that caught his eye. It was a wooden shelf support, but it somehow looked curious to Edmonds' trained eye. "I tugged on it," said Edmonds, "and it came out. It was a drawer. Inside were just some old papers and four bank deposit bags." Edmonds unzipped a bag and found several $100 bills. He opened his second bag, and there were still more $100 bills. He didn't bother unzipping the third or fourth. He called out to the property agent. "He had us come in and get it. He didn't want anything to do with it," said Major. "He could have just as well put it in his pocket." Major in turn got in touch with the attorney of record for the estate of the previous owner. The grand total in the drawer? Right at $20,000. Heirs to the estate have since divided the bonanza and turned up rather by the honest inspector. One of them sent Edmonds a whopping $50 reward, which he immediately said would go to charity. When asked if it crossed his mind to take the money, he said he never even thought about it. That's the nature of my business, he said. You're in people's houses. There's no room for crooks there. Come to think of it, just where is there room for crooks? Only in jails, one could hope. But occasional events, like the Enron debacle, expose dishonest souls as corporate executives, accountants, and stock analysts. As someone who teaches ethics and who occasionally assists in corporate training in ethics, I have an opinion about company codes of ethics and similar integrity strategies. They're maps for sailing at best. The final disposition will always be in the hands of the sailors on deck. There's no ethics manual that will ever be worth a Stan Edmonds. People with good character make the difference. Your task is not so much to find those people for your company or committee, family or church. It's to be such a person every day. Proverbs 28:18. The one whose walk is blameless is kept safe. The one whose ways are perverse will fall into the pit.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyone, will join us to explain how a simple family road trip can become a spiritual retreat. Plus, our personal success coach, Dave Duran, will talk about how we can, why we make things complicated and how we can simplify them. So stay with us. There's a lot more to come in the final hour of this Wednesday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.